Episode 167 von Win Today Hockey O'Clock. Rick Nashein, Chefscout, Steinbach Black Wings, Linz.
Just the recent weeks and the news that they came out regarding some other farm teams or some other Alps Hockey League teams that are going to fold. Klagenfurt not continuing their future team. Lustenau in the Alps Hockey League going down into potentially the third league, but not competing in the Alps Hockey League anymore. What does that do for, again, the quote-unquote market?
Well, first of all, it's really sad to see that happen, because those are developing teams, you know, and that's what we do here. It's a real costly thing. It's too bad the league or somebody could find a way where we could bring the cost down, that we have to develop Austrian players, because they're not growing on trees now. Like, you've got to give them the opportunity to get better and better, and that's coming to under 11, 13, 15, 17, 20. And then the next step, you know, that Alps League, for me, is very important for them to be able to have a chance to get up to the big team.
Win Today Hockey O'Clock.
In diesem Augenblick wird's jetzt richtig hitzig. Yeah, und die Scheibe kollert über die Linie. Yeah. Mittendrin statt nur der Ball. Das ist unglaublich, was die vier zelebrieren. Nice move, another nice move.
He is, without a doubt, one of the brightest hockey minds this country has ever seen. He is one of the most prolific goal scorers this country has ever seen. He had a great career as a player. He's very successful as a coach, a scout. He's basically done it all. And I'm so glad that he's finally on Win Today Hockey O'Clock. It's, of course, Rick Nashein. And Rick, so happy that you're jumping onto the Win Today Hockey O'Clock line. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Martin. Yeah, I'm not really the guy that likes to get behind cameras or talk a lot. I'm kind of the behind the scenes kind of guy, but for you, I'll do anything.
So happy that you're doing this. I was really looking forward to talking to you. I mean, basically, I'm always looking forward to seeing you and talking to you, but having you on the pod and just trying to dig into your vast hockey knowledge, tremendous honor. Lots of things that we're gonna talk about. Obviously, your current job with the Steinbach Black Wings Linz, so many other things that you're doing. But just out of curiosity, when was the last time someone labeled you Richard? Because the other day I read a press release, and somewhere in there were stats about Richard Nashein, and I'm like, I know this guy, but I've never seen Richard Nashein kind of written. So it sounds like Richard would be something that your mom uses or used, like, when she was mad at you, Richard. But when was the last time someone called you Richard?
Well, it's funny. It's actually Mark Such is the last one that said it, but that's the truth. My mother used to always call me Richard. My middle name is Richard. My name is Richard Edgar Nashein. So, Mark jokes around all the time, and he calls me Richard just to piss me off, more or less. So, but normally it's my mother.
We'll get to the Linz coaching staff and the very special bond that not only the three coaches on the bench, but also you apparently are sharing. Just to let listeners know, we decided to do this podcast in English. Obviously, you as a scout, the director of scouting for the Steinbach Black Wings Linz, we all know it's an international audience for you. It's an international audience for me. And especially here at Win Today Hockey O'Clock, that's listening. We've been knowing this for a very long time, but especially with the podcast about Greg Holst's life and career, so many people from overseas tuned in. So I guess this is a good point in time to get more content out to said international audience. And this kind of brings me to your day. Job and your daily business, director of scouting for the Black Wings? Let's just say you're on vacation, you meet a couple of people and there's like small talk and they're asking you, well, what are you doing as a job? What would you, or how would you describe what you're doing to someone who's never heard of the job title director of scouting?
I would just tell them it's like in any business or whatever, I'm looking for talent. I'm looking for players for hockey for our club, and hopefully successful players and players with good character. But it's like anything. If you're a chief of a business or whatever, you're going to look for a good employee, and then you're going to ask a lot of people about that person and stuff like that. And that's more or less the same with director of scouting.
Now, if you wouldn't be any good at your job, you wouldn't be with one of the Premier League organizations that is Linz. At what point of your career did you know you might have got a better feel for talent than maybe other people?
Well, I've been in hockey a lot of years, and you know, I played until I was 41, and then I got into coaching, and I did that for 15 years. But my real passion was always, you know, trying to help put teams together. That was, I remember way back, I think it was the late 80s, early 90s, and we didn't have a sport director or GM. So I more or less flew to Calgary. I was in Regina, my hometown, and I flew to Calgary to a Canadian Olympic camp to look for a centerman for myself. So I've been doing this for a lot of years, kind of behind the scenes. And then now I talk with a lot of agents, and all throughout my career, I never had an agent. I negotiated contracts for myself. So it's a good fit, my job right now.
You know, we have to touch on this, on your contract negotiations and how they went, and maybe a story or two. I'll just remind people of one of the great series that I was able and lucky enough to do here in Win Today Hockey O'Clock, back when I talked extensively to Markus Pintner, and him telling me about his mom sitting in on some of the very first negotiations with presidents and teams. Did your mom ever sit in on your contract negotiations too, or did you really handle it on your very own?
No, I handled everything by myself. My mother would just say yes, you know, whatever, you know. So no, I know the market out there and stuff like that, but it's a grind sometimes. But you got, for me, I'm even in my position on this side now, not as a player. I want to be fair and be fair with a player and be handled fair as a player. So that's my philosophy.
The market being an interesting buzzword. How big is the market for players? Indeed. How many players are, for example, available right now? I know there's this transfer deadline, the IIHF deadline, but let's say a month ago, for teams looking to reload, how many players indeed were available for a team like Linz?
That's hard to say. Thank goodness we didn't have to look. Everything was going good and everything. So, It's a tough market the last couple of years. It depends what price range you're in. You know, we're not a high paid team. So you got these teams in Russia, they're taking players. Then you got the Swedish league, the Finnish league, and then Swiss league. And like Swiss league teams are taking, like they're allowed 6 imports, but they're carrying 9. And then the DL, the German league, they're allowed 9, but they carry 11. So it all just trickles down. And so the quality for us to get, you're going to have to pay. And we used to look at players from the American Hockey League. Now in our price range, it's more or less like the East Coast Hockey League.
But if you're looking at the European market and the other European league, and the Winter Day Ice Hockey League likes to think that they're maybe on eye level with some of the better leagues, but who are you mostly competing against when looking for the services of of players? Is it indeed the German Hockey League, or is it the Slovak First League? Is it the Danish League? Is there, I don't know if competition is the right term, but if you're looking for talent, on what kind of level are you starting to look?
Yeah, well, the problem is, and again, the last couple of years, like, Slovakian teams are starting to pay quite a bit of money, more money than we can give. And also, even with the DL2, they're giving more money than what we can give. So for us, it's how we treat our players, you know, the Umfeld, the whole, you know, their cars, their apartments, and how they're treated. And that's a big selling point for us. And it was not easy. When I joined the team last year, in the last season, in the middle of June, we didn't have a lot of players under contract. And I remember before, Linz had a good address, and it was so hard to get players because they had a couple of bad years and there was some stuff going on, and it was tough getting players to come to Linz. And now, in this last year and a half, it's totally 100% turned around the other way. So it's good, and that's a compliment to the whole organization.
And obviously, rewards for that have been handed out, 3-year extensions for the entire staff. The newspaper article I read the other day said that an extension with you should be hopefully done within next couple of days and weeks, if it hasn't been done already. I'm going to get to that eventually. But when you're talking about the tough times getting players to Linz, were you surprised how fast, kind of word of mouth, that something was wrong and Linz traveled?
Yeah, it was really astonishing. I have to be Ehrlich, or whatever that word is in English. Honest. Yeah, it was quite a shock, to tell you the truth. But I mean, that's done with. You know, we're all moving forwards, and we have done it, and it's a compliment to the organization, the coaching staff, and our players to perform, and it's helping us get players to Linz, period.
Let me just intersect here, and we have to talk about how you and Linz got together. Obviously, you played for Linz, you coached for Linz before. Eventually, you got to Ingolstadt, you coached and scouted out of Vorarlberg, again coached for the Dornbirner Ice Hockey Club, and as the new regime took over in Linz with Phil Lucas, with President Peter Nader, at what point did they get in touch with you? At what point did you know, hey, this could be something that could really work out for both sides?
Well, I got contacted by Peter Nader early January. And it was more or less, you know, would you be interested and stuff like that. They still hadn't hired a coach or a sport director or anything like that. And I said, you know, I'd mentioned to him a couple of players that he should go after and stuff like that. But he goes, can't you do that? And I said, I can't do that because I'm under contract in Dornbirn Bulldogs. So that started then. And then when Philip Lucas signed as head coach and sport director, he contacted me and he asked me would I be interested. And for me, Linz has been, I had so much fun here in Linz, you know, from playing to coaching and then to come back again and try to get this thing going again. It was a big challenge, which I love. And being around people that I trust means so much. And I knew we could all work together. And so far, it's been going good.
You're accepting the offer. You're becoming the head scout, the director of scouting. What are the first kind of steps that you're trying to take in your approach? Is it, hey, here are 5 players that we need? Is it sitting in meetings and just listening? How does one have to think about, like, the first couple of days and weeks on the job?
Well, first of all, when I came, I wanted to get a good view of what we had for our players that we already had under contract, just to kind of evaluate them, where they might be and what we might need to get better, right? So I'm at every practice, every game. I go with the team on the road, and I'm watching our players, but I'm also watching players in our league. And I do the Alps League is here. Steel Wings play out of Linz, so I'm able to watch the Austrian guys too, you know, for the future. So it's a good setup, but it was you got to evaluate our players, you know, weekly and stuff. And, you know, and then we have meetings after every practice. Sometimes I get a little negative because I expect a lot from every single player, but I'm honest, and Phil likes that. The group likes that, just where they can get better, you know, what I see on the ice, even in practices, not only in games. So it's a lot of fun.
But take me and the listeners back to the summer of 2022, or maybe spring of 2022, when everybody, or when usually the teams try to set themselves up for the fall and players and everything that might be incoming. What was your assessment of the team that you quote unquote took over? What was the talent like then, and what were the first necessary steps that had to be taken?
That's a tough question, because you know, you look around the league, what the other teams have and everything, and I thought we looked okay in the Austrian side of it. We still needed imports, and we needed, you know, lower end sort of guys that it's more or less roll the dice on. And we got lucky getting Logan Rowe. He came from the Allsvenska, the Swedish league. He's been a nice surprise. And then we got Graham Knott and Sean St. Amant. And, you know, these are first year players, and it's tough. You don't know how they're going to react to playing in Europe and stuff, but they've just been, all three of those guys have been great. So it's, you know, we want to get better in each department, in the Austrian part and our import part. We want to have quality, because we don't play with the full 10 imports like most teams do. So Phil and the coaching staff and me have a philosophy that we want to give the Austrians a good chance, but we want quality Austrians as well.
You struck gold with the three guys you just mentioned, Rowe, Knott, Sent them out. They've been great. They played a lot. They scored a lot for Linz. And let's just start maybe with Logan Rowe and his profession as a defenseman. When trying to look for defensemen, I guess every head coach, every scouting department kind of comes up with a role, a profile that they're looking for. What kind of profile did you get? Were you looking for, and why did Logan Rowe eventually ended up being a Blackwing?
Actually, I didn't have anything to do with that. That was Phil, because he was signed before I got here. But I knew of him. He's a solid two-way defenseman he's got 12 goals this year. He's a real professional, and he's really tough on himself, and he fits our dressing room, and that's so key. Like, our players have got to want to be in Linz, and then, you know, for our dressing room to stay healthy.
You've been in so many locker rooms and so many dressing rooms. You're saying Logan Rowe fits into the locker room of the Black Wings. How fast do you usually know if someone fits or if it doesn't fit? Is that an instant thing, or does it take days, weeks, or maybe even months to kind of get rid of a bad apple?
Well, that's what we don't want to have. So we do a lot of homework. Like, we have, I call this the board of directors, Phil, Lucas, Mark Suits, Jürgen Panker, and me. We meet about looking at players, and then some guy we like, then we all try to get information from ex-coaches, players, and we do so much homework on these guys, because it's a, you know, we don't make a lot of changes, and that's a compliment to our work, because we get guys that are, well, pretty good players, but also good people. And that's a big part of it. I'd take a guy with a little less skill, but a better character than a top guy that's me, me, me.
But what's kind of the lowest common denominator that you're all looking for? Is it indeed character? Or where's the fine line between skill and character? What's the prototypical Blackwing that you're looking for?
Well, just a guy that wants to be here, you know, and wants to put on that sweater and play for Linz and Oberösterreich. That's key. But we want the quality of player. Like, this is up to the coaches as well. Like, you know, you could have a problem guy. You know, you've heard stuff in the past. But like a coach can say, like Phil can say, okay, I can straighten him out and stuff like that. You'd probably not want to do that. But some coaches, they say, I can handle him. And then you hope it works out for the better.
Give me an example. Has there ever been a guy in your career, you said problem guy, who might have been a problem guy in one organization but was fine in yours? And if that was the case somewhere, what happened? How did you straighten him out?
Well, that's got a lot to do with your leadership group in the dressing room. Okay, of course, the coaching staff and GM or whatever, you know, have to address anytime you see a problem, or you've got to address it right away. You can't just let it go. But thank goodness here in Linz, we haven't had that problem. So, but I know of other teams and stuff like that where it can wreck a season and financially it can cost you too, because you have to pay the guy out, like you get rid of him. And it's just, for me, it's do your best you can, the homework on the player, and you know, you got to give him a good environment. And then that leadership has got to, you know, bring them along.
Doing the homework is such an interesting term, which is why I'm asking you to take us on the inside. You're seeing a player, or someone wants you to look at a player, and you're starting to do your homework on him. How does that look like? How many games do you want to see in person? How many games do you want to see on tape? How many people are you calling? How do you try to fill in the blanks with a player that you don't know?
Well, first of all, it's tough to watch until you know what you need. It's tough to watch guys a lot live. We have the sports contract program that you can watch every shift of every player in the world, and I use that a lot. The thing is, when you're doing your homework, the people that you call, you have to trust them, because we'll call some ex-coaches and say, oh, he's an idiot. You know, and then you talk to another guy, oh, he's a great guy and stuff like that. So you really have to have a group of people that you can trust. And like we have Panks too with Florida Panthers. I have guys in Tampa Bay, Washington Capitals, and, you know, for those guys in the American League that we might bring and stuff like that. And, you know, it's you get different opinions. And then Phil will normally talk to the player personally, which is very key, because you get a read on it. If you can't see them live playing and go out for soccer with them or something like that, it's best if you can talk to them, because you can get a pretty good read on the answers you get on a talk on the phone.
But if you're putting a player forward, how does it look like? Is it a folder? Is it a mixture of tape and a pros and cons list? How does it look like?
Well, we get our list of players, like for example, right now we're going to be looking, where do we want to get better, you know, and stuff like that. So we get our lists of Austrian players, our list of import players, and we go over it all. And we also have to look at our budget, what we have for money and stuff like that. But it's a process. It's difficult, but it's not that difficult. You just have to all come to the same agreement. We want to get stronger in that position, and this is the type of player we want. So that's where you you go to the agents and say, this is the style of player we have, you know, and then if he fits our budget, first of all, then we'll go in deep on scouting him.
I'll get to the agent part in a bit, but a quick little detour that we have to take, or that we have to talk about, because I got so many incredibly intelligent questions. I ask fans to come up with questions. Basically told them, hey, I'm gonna talk to director of scouting for the Black Wings, and so many Black Wings fans came back with incredibly intelligent questions. Begs the question, has Linz one of the most, if not the most, knowledgeable fan base in Austria? You've seen many places, you've been to many places, but it always kind of strikes me that the hockey IQ of the fans in Linz is incredibly high. I mean, you have to agree right now, don't you?
Well, I walk up to my spot, the rink, a lot, and I talk to a lot of the fans and stuff like that. We don't get into too much detail and stuff, but you just see how passionate they are. And, they've seen the ups and downs. And, for me, it's just one of the best atmospheres in our league is when you come to the Linz AG Ice Arena. So
almost no better place to be than in a sold-out Linz AG Arena in the playoffs. Hopefully it's going to be a long series between the Steinbach Black Wings Linz and Red Bull Salzburg. But one of the questions that reached me that sounds very basic, but is kind of a loaded question, regards the network that you're having. How do you compile that kind of network? How long does it take to have the people, to find the people that you can trust, that they come up with solid information about players and everything? How long did it take you to compile your network?
That's just come across from like probably the last 20 years, more or less. Like I know, for example, Thomas Rundqvist, who was my centerman for 5 years in Feldkirk. There was an Austrian, Swedish guy, Henrik Neubauer, and I got called him. And he knew him from the area, I guess, and got such a good review on him. We ended up bringing him to Dornbirn. But, that's just one part of it. I got Ben Åke Gustafsson, people in Finland, all over the place. So it's just over the years of accumulating people that you trust with a good hockey mind that can help you out.
Just a rough estimate, how many hours per day, per week do you spend on the phone?
It's different because our team was done more or less probably the third week in July. So our team was complete. So my job was more or less complete. So I had a lot of, it looked like it wasn't really doing nothing, but it was the truth because it was completed. And then you're starting to get on to thinking about, okay, what do we need to improve on for the next year and stuff like that. And you always got to be on top of it. If we have an injury or something, that we have somebody to get in there quickly. And but on the phones, not a lot. It's now with contract talks and everything, it's been going pretty good the last probably 2 months. And it'll only get more, here on in.
But as with other sports, hockey has become a 365-day proposition. There's so many things to do within an organization to set up a team for success. What's the busiest time of the year for you as, best case scenario, team is set up at the end of July, as it was last year? But leading up to that, what's indeed the busiest time of the year for you?
Well, there's different phases. Depends what you need, over the summer. If we still need quite a few players, it's a lot of work, a lot of video. And then there's that break. And then it's the agents calling for an extension for this player and then the next player. So I'd say you're probably going about out of 12 months, maybe nine, like, you know, extensive. And then the 3 year, it depends what's going on for the whole season, but it's not 365 days. I mean, you're always thinking about it, but actually working, I'd say nine out of, don't tell our president, he'll only want to pay me 9 months.
No, Rick, you're busy for 12 months. I do understand that. And nothing else will see the day of light here. No, but it's just interesting because different, or the leagues in Europe work so differently, where Austrian organizations usually are very secretive with their extensions and whom they're talking about. It's not unusual, especially in the National League, the first league in Switzerland, that contract extensions and negotiations come out in October, November. And I vividly remember the one case where Leonardo Ginoni, the Swiss national team goalie, signed a five-year contract with Zug, even though he still had 1.5 years or 1 year left in Bern, which was an incredible story, a big story in Switzerland. This hardly ever happens here. I mean, there are rumors, and newspapers had it the past couple of weeks that Lukas Haudum is going to go to Graz, that Manuel Ganal has already signed in Graz, but that's really the exception to the rule. Why are Austria and, for the sake of the argument, Switzerland so different in how they're dealing with players, extensions, and signings?
Yeah, I find that quite strange. That's been going on in Switzerland for quite a few years. It just doesn't make sense why announce that. It doesn't help the team that guy's playing for, and then doesn't help the team he's going to, because, he's going to be taking my spot. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. We get players signed, and it's a thing more for the fans to be able to get some news each, like in the off season, to get some news of who's coming back and stuff like that. So, you know, we keep it pretty hush. And then whenever the president's ready to move, then he brings it out.
Got an interesting question, another intelligent question that's about the work that you're doing right now, and you've already alluded to it a little bit and talked about it a little bit, that you're trying to look for improvements, trying to improve the team. And without obviously talking about team secrets or stuff that can't go out to the public yet, but what are things that you're working on right now, or things in the back of your head where you know, okay, this might be something that we need for next year, knowing that you're at the very start of a hopefully long and extended playoff run?
Yeah, well, we're again, like I said, we want to get stronger in all areas. I'd say, like with our imports, if we're going with 8 imports, we want to try to get stronger than we have this year. And then also in our Austrian department, We want to get more depth, you know, because there's always injuries. Thank goodness we have our Steel Wings partnership, which has been helpful this whole year, because guys have been getting hurt, but we're not going and looking. Even if an import gets hurt, we bring them up from the Steel Wings, and it's just a great setup. So we just want to get more depth, but quality, especially with our Austrians, the quality a little bit higher. If possible, you know, it's not the biggest market.
And that pipeline hopefully will be going strong for next couple of years. But just the recent weeks and the news that came out regarding some other farm teams or some other Alps Hockey League teams that are going to fold, Klagenfurt not continuing their future team, Lustenau in the Alps Hockey League going down into potentially the third league, but not competing in the Alps Hockey League anymore. What does that do for, again, the quote unquote market?
Well, first of all, it's really sad to see that happen, because those are developing teams, you know, and that's what we do here. It's a real costly thing. It's too bad the league or somebody could find a way where we could bring the cost down, that we have to develop Austrian players, because they're not growing on trees now. Like, you've got to give them the opportunity to get better and better, and that's coming the under 11, 13, 15, 17, 20. And then the next step, you know, that Elf League for me is very important for them to be able to have a chance to get up to the big team.
In that regard, another question reached me that has to do with the Alps Hockey League team, and especially the shortage of Austrian goaltenders. I mean, let's talk about maybe the permeability of the Steel Wings and the Black Wings first. It's very common that player gets called up and some players get sent down, but how much of a say do you have in that, or how much maybe, or how often do you put forward an argument where you say, hey, let's have a look at how player XYZ behaves in the first league, or I do think player XYZ hasn't been doing so well in the Ice League. Let's give him a couple of games in the Alps League and see if he gets back to his game. Are you involved in decisions like that at all?
Well, I give the information. Like, I'll watch, like Phil Lucas and the coaching staff, they're busy and have to do their own job, right? So I'll watch a lot of games and I'll give them like input as to what I think and stuff like that. Phil's got a good idea, and we got a great development coach in with the Steel Wings. He really takes his job seriously, and they talk a lot with each other as well, and everybody gives their input, but at the end, Phil will, you know, make a call up or send a guy down, and it's the best for both parties, and best for the team.
You're, of course, referencing Matej Hočeva. I've seen him in your office, in your locker room many times. Also, bright hockey mind and just perfectly fits into the group of hockey addicts that basically is leading the Black Wings. But talking up about the goaltender shortage, especially the ones with an Austrian passport, how serious is that topic indeed? How serious is the shortage of Austrian goaltenders?
There is a shortage, you know, and I don't know, I'm not a real expertise in goaltending and stuff like that, but they got to, I don't know if you have a lot more camps or whatever, thing like that, but we need Austrian goalies for the club teams, but also for the national team. And, you know, I have to ask Pinker about that, because I'm not really an expert in the goalie development, stuff like that, but there definitely needs to be more done in that respect.
I'm also asking because the Black Wings not only have one of the very best goalie coaches in the league, but also one of the most promising goaltenders in Benedikt Oshkan. So we'll see how that one turns out. But your job is also dealing with agents. How many players on the market do have an agent? How many players, like you yourself, where one are representing themselves? How's that ratio right now?
That'd probably be zero to everybody's gotten agents now. Like, even the young kids, like 15 years old, and you know, it's too bad. There's the thing is, it used to be years back that there wasn't a lot of agents. Now there are so many of them, and the players are, I don't know if they're getting misrepresented. Like, if you have a good thing wherever you are, if you're in Czech, if you're in Finland, Sweden, whatever, wherever, Austria, if where you are is good for your development, just let them keep doing it. Stay at home and keep doing it. Do your school and stuff like that. But they get stuff in these guys' minds and their parents, and then I don't know. There's just, I have conflicting interests on some of the actions of some agents in for their development, you know, and that for me is a is a problem. But it's been going on for quite a few years now that these young kids are having agents so young.
I mean, you're probably the exception to the rule because you represented yourself. But if there are parents out there listening right now, parents of maybe a talented hockey player, and they're thinking about representation of some kind, what would your recommendation be for them? Granted that there is no one-size-fits-all solution.
I just tell them to go to the organization where they are and ask them, what do you have planned for my son or daughter? You know, say he's 12 or 14 or 16 or something like that. Just to find out what the direction is from the club and what your wishes are. I know parents are a little, you know, want their best for their kid and sometimes get steered the wrong way and stuff like that. You got to be within reality. But I think if it's a good spot and the coaches are good and stuff like that, let them continue. Like, they'll leave at some point in time, but don't force them out. And agents, please, you know, do what's best for the player.
There are so many sports movies out there with agents being involved, and usually they're involved in some shady side business, and an agent's reputation in general is probably not the best. Is that something that kind of resonates with you and your daily business too, that there are some shady agents that are still out there, or has the agent side of it gotten more professional over past couple of years?
I think it's professional. Like, for us, our, like I said before, we want to be fair with the player. If he does well, we want to compensate him that. But nothing that pisses me off more is when an agent, okay, he's doing his job, but he's trying to sniff every cent out of you. And that for me and our group, that's, I don't like it. And that's where we'll say, okay, see you later. Because it doesn't work that way, you know.
But is there a point in the negotiation process where you get the feel that they just try to use you as a stepping stone to get a better offer somewhere else? Are there, like, certain keys to something like that?
Or for clues? Sure. Yeah, that's their what their plan is. You know, oh, we got an offer from Lentz, and he's sells them to someone else and this and that. And then we more or less say, listen, if we're serious about a guy and we put out a good offer, which we think is fair for both sides, we'll say, okay, you got 1 week, take it or leave it. Because, you know, that's how they work. They go to the next team and the next team. Of course, they're trying to get the most money for their client. But still, there's some agents that I do not like, but you gotta deal with them or you won't get their players. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes you just got to keep your mouth shut and say, yeah, okay. But, you know, it's so, those days I don't like, you know, it takes a lot out of you.
The agent sphere in Austria, it's for a lot of fans that might be interested in the topic, still a largely unknown realm, a largely unknown world. Think a decade ago, it was a league that was basically run by two or three agencies. A couple of years ago, Bernd Brückler got involved and has now got a large share of the market, as far as I understand. But just to give people an idea who the most important agents, especially for the Austrian leagues, not only the Winterday Ice Hockey League, but also the Alps Hockey League. Who are those people? Who are you mostly dealing with?
Well, all three of them, really. Like, you got Casper Poloni, you got Brückler, you got Krantz, and they more or less have them all, right? So I have good relationship with all of them. And it's all about, especially the younger kids, like, it's all about the opportunity and their development, stuff like that. But then once you get up higher, you know, the market's not, it's not like we have a whole ton of Austrians around. Like, I'm talking quality. So, you know, they can take advantage of the situation, but we stand for what we have. And, you know, it'd be great if you could say, well, yeah, he's wanting too much. Let's go to the next guy. But there ain't really a next guy. So it's a tough job, but.
It for sure is. And at one point, I want to have an agent back here in Win Today Hockey O'Clock too. But as stated before, the market a couple of years ago was a two people, two agency market. And then Bernd Brückle and his agency really stepped it up. Apparently, a lot of clients moved and a lot of players moved over to him. You with your vast amount of experience and everything that you've seen, how is that possible that someone rises within the business so quick, so fast, and so successfully?
Well, I know it was in my time in Dorman. Like, there's a couple players that had him when he was just getting into it, and he got them good jobs. So then, you know, they go, oh, okay, well. And Bernd Brückle did that. So they go to him and they go to that guy. And most agencies, they have a player under contract for a 1 year period and stuff like that. So they can bounce around and stuff like that, but which I don't agree with, because they all try to get them jobs. But, you know, some of them just aren't good enough for that spot and stuff like that. So, you know, they can't handle the, no, I can't get anything for you now. So they try to switch to this guy. And, you know, it's pretty screwed up sometimes.
What's screwed up, if you're listening carefully to or try to read between the lines, is the way the market obviously has already changed. There are rumors that the Graz under new ownership or presidency would be the better word to describe it. Will try to become a player. How much has the market indeed changed with everything that the Graz is doing, as far as you can allude to it?
Well, it just brings the prices higher. You know, I don't know if it's good or bad. I mean, it's good because they got some guy coming in there. But I remember my days way back when the elephant from Graz, remember Kartnick and stuff? And I remember being in a casino or hotel in Stockholm at the World Championships, and some president coming up to me and saying, here, I'm going to give you 500,000 shillings more than what you make in Falkirk to come to Graz. And I said, no, because money, you know, we ended up beating them again in the finals, but it wasn't, I mean, nowadays, okay, you got to try to earn as much money as you can, because you don't know how long your career is going to be there and stuff like that. But it's good for the league, but it's also for Graz. It's good, but it's also tougher for us, because we can't compete with that. And we won't. We won't compete. We won't go higher than what we have.
How much tougher does it make your job? How much more do you have to leave no stone unturned? How much deeper do you have to dig with all the money that the Graz is throwing onto the market?
Well, if just for an example, we were definitely interested in Lucas Houdam because he's a Linzer player, you know, and then we were definitely in contact with his agent, but then all of a sudden, you know, this comes along and it's okay. See you later. So, you know, they can do what they got to do. We do what we're going to do. So
sometimes it's indeed that simple, but I just want to give people an idea of the work you're doing, of the leagues that you're looking at. How many hockey games, how many hockey videos how many hours of clips and footage do you watch? On average, is it something that's part of your daily routine, or does it ramp up in maybe April and May, where you started to put forward like new potential import players? What's the hockey heavy time of the year when looking at tape for you?
Well, we once the season starts, we get together a lot, our board of directors, and we discuss what we think of each of our players and stuff like that. And then And then we'll know pretty early on which guy maybe we'd like to, might have to let go and get something better, right? So we like to try to get our players done earlier than later, because but and now with the success of, you know, a few of our imports, you know, other teams are after them too. So you got to be prepared that they're not going to be here next year. So we got to have replacements. So yeah, until we know exactly what we're going to need, then it ramps up depending how many players we got to, you know, replace. So it's I just know not last summer, the summer before, it was a lot. Like it was 3 months daily. And then, you know, new name coming in, he's gone. Okay, next one. And, you know, it's a lot of work. And it's a lot of letdown too at times. You go, oh, I think we've got this guy. Nope, he signed somewhere else. And then you go, shit. Now we got to, you know, we need a lot of different things in players, what we want for the out of that player, right? And not everyone fits that profile. So it's just up and down, lots of work here and there.
I know it's probably not the right point in time to really start this conversation, but just to give listeners a feeling for how a Black Wings team in 24-25 could be looking like. If I count it correctly, there's basically a handful of players under contract for next year. A couple of them have an option for next year, but how big of a turnover do you expect there to be? How different, how similar might the Black Wings look than the team right now?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't really have the answer right now. But, you know, when we all came together here a year and a half ago, we wanted to build a team that we can keep together. Like, this goes back to my years with Ralph Kruger and Feldkirk. We only made maybe 3-4 changes a year from one season to the next. And that's, we want to try to do that, you know, but it's got to financially work and everything like that, because it's so much easier when you've played with a guy for a couple of years than having to have a new line mate and stuff like that. So we like to try to keep the same team together as possible. I mean, not the whole team, but, and then, you know, get better in certain spots. But that's our philosophy. If it works, great. But it all comes down to the mighty dollar, you know, and then we don't have the mighty dollar, they're gone. So, you know, it's interesting, but we'll find a way.
I got two more questions before I will let you go. I know you're a busy man. We're in the thick of the playoffs, and I'm sure there's tons of stuff to do, but just give me, and pride is probably the wrong word, but I'll still use it. What's the import, or who's the import you're most proud of that you scouted, recommended, put forward, and brought into A-League? Who would that be? And I know how much coaches and scouting directors and everybody else hate singling out people, but is there a player or a handful of players where you think, okay, this really makes me proud of how they performed and that I was right about them and their potential?
Well, I can just start with our team now, and it's a Sean St. Amant. Like, he came over here, and you know, we weren't sure how he was going to do and everything like that. And he didn't really light it up last year, but we saw what he can do. He can PK, he can PP, 5-on-5, 4-on-4, and he's a great person. Like, just, you like the guys that are there's no baggage. Like, they're easy to deal with, you know. Like Graham Knott, he's a different personality, right? But the coaches get the best out of each individual. But I really that's why we gave him a 2-year contract last year, St. Amant, just because he's just and you're happy for him, you know what I mean? And hopefully it keeps getting better and better, and also making more and more money. So that's a guy I can, like, just off my hat right now, could say. But you got me there. I can't recollect that far back so quick.
promise to get back here once you've kind of remembered all the great players that he put into various leagues. I mean, last year, right on your Regina doorstep there used to be this Bedard kid that apparently was pretty good. Did you ever put him forward?
No, I didn't, but that's a great hockey town, Regina fans. I played there a half a year, and it's a great town. That's where I grew up playing hockey as a kid, and it's unreal what that kid's done.
Last question. 3-year extensions for the entire staff. Apparently, your extension right around the corner. Is that the case?
Yeah, we're discussing now, but I'm pretty easy. I would love to stay here just because of what we've started, and just want to continue to, like, being in that rink and seeing those fans, like, even like last year when we came in and we weren't sure if fans were going to start coming again, right? And then I remember that game, we had an exhibition game against Eisbären in Berlin, and there was like 2,500 people, and I was up in my spot up by you guys, and I just felt that feeling again, and that just got my blood pumping. I was excited, and now to see it getting there again, it's special, you know, and I really enjoy my time now, and I really enjoyed my time before here in Linz.
Couldn't wish for a better way to round this out. I learned tons today. I knew that when I thought or wanted to bring you on, but I guess there's still a lot of meat on the bone. So promise to come back. There are so many other things I need to talk to you about eventually. Anyhow, for the moment, so happy that you took almost an hour of your valuable time. Have great playoffs, hopefully along an extended playoff run, and looking forward to talking to you soon.
Okay, Martin, thanks a lot. See you again.
Win today, hockey. Oh,
kurz durchatmen bei diesem Wahnsinn. Und das ging rasend schnell. Der Traum vom Finale ist erfüllt. Mittendrin statt nur dabei. Fans, stimmungsvoll und hoffnungsfroh. Leistung hat